Welcome to The Shit Show with Joe Bosco, a podcast about pet waste removal franchises served with a side of humor. Hosted by Joe Bosco, the passionate owner of Yard Sweepers, this series delves deep into the nitty-gritty of the pet waste removal industry and beyond. Whether you're knee-deep in the business or eyeing a franchise opportunity, we've got you in the little black bag. And here's your host, Joe Bosco.
Let's go, number two. Well, I didn't mean, you know what I meant.
Pun intended.
Yeah. This is episode two. Everybody psyched? Brian, Doug, Victoria, Joe. It was a lot of fun. The first one had a great time. Got some feedback from some people. That was great. Most of it good. All of it meant something. And we'll try to right the ship this time, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things that when this idea came to me for a pet waste removal company, I just read an article in the paper, and then I just couldn't get over the fact that I was going to be picking up dog poop. I mean, I'm going from Wall Street, woohoo, but you know, I wore a suit every day, you know, nice shoes, a suit, and took the train, read the paper, had my coffee and Danish, blah, blah, blah. So to come and even think about it, you know, what is it? What do you do? You read the article, this guy in, I don't know, Minnesota had seven trucks and he was making $1 million a year. And that was 20 years ago. But it was really hard for me to get over that. I mean, you ever had that in your life where you're like, oh, I'm better than this. I can't do that. And it was really, I struggled with that for a long time. Until I started doing this full time, you know, when I was doing it part time, I would, you know, it was extra money. It was a great revenue stream and still is. But once I took it on full time, it changed everything. That ever happened to you, Brian? Ever felt like that?
I've definitely felt like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. But I think for me, I mean, once I got over it, I'm like, hey, okay, I got this figured out. Now, you know, once you realize that nobody cares what you're doing, how you're doing it. They got their own things going on. And it took me, I don't know, 50-ish years to figure that out. But once I figured out, it changes everything. It's how I parent. You know, Doug is on the podcast. That's my son. Victoria is here. She's doing social media stuff, which is awesome. It's like a family affair. We're just missing my wife, Christine. But she'll listen and give us critique. Yeah, so once I figured that out, it was easy to make the business grow in a sense that I could talk to anybody, say anything, because I knew the business. I never had a question. Nobody, it's very rare that somebody can come to me and say, especially with a commercial customer, say, hey, Joe, you know, A, B, or C, and I can't have three or four answers, good answers that mean something that can fix the problem. From goose poop on the sidewalks, nobody wants to walk on that. No pun intended. Nobody wants to walk on that. And it's unsightly and it's hard to get up and it's a pain in the neck. So you got to get rid of the geese. Like that's some of the stuff you deal with. Like we talked about also human poop when people call that in, which is odd.
Human.
Yeah. Human.
With a Y.
Human. Human.
Human.
So I guess.
But Joe, you're right though. A business is a business. And yeah. If the business is successful, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the content of the business.
Right. But it took a lot for me to get over that.
I'm sure.
Like, you know, I almost opened a bagel shop 30 years ago before kids, before everything. My uncle did it and I did it every morning with him. And, you know, that was a business to me. This wasn't until it was. And it is. It's really special. I'm hoping somebody listening is going to say, so this guy from Long Island, he's 58, graduated high school, had various jobs, and he's running a business that's a six-figure a year business. I think I could do that. And you can. Trust me, you could do it. This is simple. If you call me, text me, email me, I will answer your questions, I promise. You could do this. If your 9-to-5 is meh, try this. It works. So, Doug, I do want to throw something at you. So, you know, I think some people that either own this business type of business or are thinking about it at some point are going to have this question and you can relate. How do you clean an apartment complex? Or how do you clean a residential yard? big difference to us, right? Because we know the difference. But somebody that lives in an apartment community is like, well, this is my house. I've always lived in an apartment. So tell me the difference and how you work that in.
Yeah, I think it starts by just, you can't get overwhelmed. It's easy to get overwhelmed. You see, I mean, we have properties that are 20 something buildings, right? And you get there and you're like, how in the world am I supposed to clean this whole place? And it's, you don't have to clean the whole place. It's, we have a whole system. That's why we have these applications. We have these different methods of making it easier for you to not get overwhelmed. Like, we have our techs walk a quarter of the property every week.
Depending on size, though. So if it's a regular property, they walk the whole property every single week. But there are some properties that have 25, like Doug said, 25, 30 buildings. There's no way a human.
I think at this point, you're just trying to play up that word.
Actually, I wish I was. That would be even funnier, but this is me. Yeah.
I'm just a human.
Yeah. I'm a human.
Do you ever pronounce the H sound?
I try. I talk so fast that.
Hello, humans.
You know, the letters get in the way sometimes, to be honest. And I hate it for people that have to listen, but they'll get over it.
You just think too fast. You're too smart.
Yeah. Right? Well, look at the size of my head. So, wow. Big brains.
But back to the question. We have hard copies of maps. You go to a property, you have a hard copy of a map right in front of you. You could see everything. Mark whatever you want to mark. And you start to figure out practices that work best for you, you know? If it's Xing off a building every time you complete one, then you next week you go back, you hit the ones that you didn't X off, you know?
Right. And that's for very large properties, which out of, you know, a couple of hundred properties, we have probably 10 or 12 that we've had to put into a quadrant. So we go once a week. So once a week, you walk five buildings. Second week, you walk five buildings. Third week, you walk five buildings. Fourth week, you walk five buildings. By the end of a month, you know where every single pile of dog crap is, because every week you're marking down building seven must have a lot of dogs. Holy crap. No pun intended. So, and when you go back, you know. So the next time you go back on your fifth week, you should be able to walk every single spot where you found poop, because you're going to specifically, dogs go in the same spot.
I was about to ask that. How do you know if you've walked it? Because you see a pattern, dogs like to return to the same places?
Once we do our methods, once we do that, any complaints that come in, hey, this building seven, oh, that was three quadrants ago, but I'll go back and check it for you. So it's very complaint-based at that point, because we've done everything. We've cleaned all the poop. You're good. Dogs go every day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the issue with the size of the property.
How do you deal with it when, like, you just finished cleaning up and then the dog goes and the owner just happens to walk out, like, 2 seconds after the dog just, like, right in front of the owner? Does that ever happen?
What do you mean? Like, if their dog?
Yeah, let's say you just cleaned the whole place.
Right.
And then a dog is getting walked the moment you're loading into the car and it poops right in front and the owner comes out and, like, did you even clean?
Right, exactly. And that's happened, especially by the offices, right? You'll get there and you're like, wait a second. I just did this 45 minutes ago. There's no way I missed that. And then you see it's a fresh turd. No, you know, they're turds.
Mm-hmm.
You pick it up. I mean, you pick it up. That's the right answer. Do all my techs do that? Yes. You know, that was the other issue was, you know, the other part of the question, Doug, was the residential. So great. That's commercial. Tell me how you do a residential.
Well, residential is definitely easier. I mean, it's either backyard, front yard, both, that's it. And you get there, you have notes right in front of you. Like I said, we have applications that will tell you everything you need to know when you get to the property. If they want you to knock, if they want you to text beforehand, whatever. Some of them don't want you to do either. You just walk back in, you just walk into the back. But the big thing is grid walk. What we call it, right?
Right.
Walking the grid. So
right.
When you get into the backyard, it's your walk slow. You can scan with your head back and forth. We say what you can see about
6 feet, 3 feet on either side,
7 feet each way. So you're kind of scanning and you're walking a grid, like you're almost snaking it. If you remember that game with the snake and you had to keep it alive without it hitting it, without it running into itself.
Right.
I definitely remember that game. It was very frustrating.
Yeah. But it's, that's, yeah, and if you do it, if you do it that way, you shouldn't get.
I think if you're a franchise, if you're thinking, if you're watching this and you're like, I looked at that franchise fee, I don't know, I'm not sure. I told you guys there are discounts available. But my bigger point is the information you just heard that Douglas talked about and I talked about are going to be the most important. That probably will be the most important question you have, whether you open a franchise in Utah or Fayetteville or Wilmington or New York or anywhere that you're thinking about. Those two items that you just heard are game changer, because you want to chase the commercial work because that's where your money is, but you have to have the residential work because it's a constant revenue stream. That revenue stream never stops, and people need the service. They love the service. My customers right now, if you called any one of them, would I be wrong, Doug, if I said you call any one of my customers, they're going to be like, oh, that's the service. Don't use anybody else. Now, are we the cheapest? No. Are we the most expensive? No. But I know what my price gets my customer. I know what they're getting. It's worth it, whether it's commercial or residential.
Do you feel like it would be easier for a new franchise person to start with residential, build a base, because it's harder to get into commercial, or do you start at the same time? Like, why is it more difficult to get into commercial than residential?
Because you have to get the right person to hear what you have to say and see your pricing, and they always need to get approval from higher ups. But to answer the first part of the question is, you're going to want to do residential first because it's easier. You can get more done. You won't make as much money as doing the commercial. And like I just said, the two things that Doug and I just spoke about are game changers when you're pricing a property. And that's down the road a piece. A few more episodes, we could talk about all that stuff. How do you price it? I mean, how did you figure it out, Joe? 18 years, 15 years part-time, the last three full-time. And we've grown the business. Doug, myself, Victoria, and Christine have grown the business in 3 years, 50%.
Wow.
Double. And that's no joke. That's a legit number, right? We have it posted in our office, just, where we are. And it's fun. The ride has been fun. And again, if you're thinking about this, it's legit. Trust me. It's, you see me with my papers and my glasses. That's the way I work. I'm not a great computer person.
No, but very bad.
I do try. And I don't, I don't get angry when I'm doing it, which is good.
No.
Yeah. I
no
feel like I'm very mellow, very.
Very PG rated as well.
Excuse me.
Joe, it sounds to me like residential is a good start for all the reasons you said, but also what you're talking about, Doug, like it gives you a chance to really learn the business.
Walk that grid. Yeah.
I mean, you do that at apartments too. Dog parks, walking the grounds, you walk the grid there too. It's all about covering as much ground as you can.
Right.
99.9% of the grounds you should be able to.
Yeah, and one of the biggest thing is walking the grid in the first month of a new property is you walk that thing fully. You spend the extra time so you know when you go back, you've marked that X, and you know that dog's within 10 feet, he's going to the same area. That smell is still there from before or this morning. And that does make our job a bit easier. But Doug's right, overwhelming is a really good word for a tech. When they pull up to, when their route has 8 to 10 apartment buildings in one day, they're like, what? Until you figure it out. If you just listen to the simple directions, it works itself. It just does. I can't say more about that, but part of us selling a franchise is like I said on last episode, is you get the whole team on our end, Doug, myself, Victoria, Christine, any questions, social media, billing, tech in the field, sales, those are the four main categories you have to have. And you got to, wherever your sweet spot is, if you're doing sales, it better be your sweet spot. Because if you're not good at sales, you are not going to grow this business. And that's not to scare anybody. That's just to say, nobody cares. Put yourself out there. Yeah, you're picking up dog poop, and you know what? The last call that a property manager wants is, hey, I'm in building 7, and there's dog shit in front of my building. I got air conditioners to fix. I got walls to paint. I got walls to fix. I got plumbing to fix. Okay, I'll get there. Meanwhile, I just go, hey, Joe, building 7 pile of crap, and it's gone in 24 hours. That's customer service. And that's one of the biggest things, part of the business.
You mentioned earlier getting over that feeling of, you didn't use the word embarrassment, but it was like, you're almost like hiding from doing the picking up dog poop. What, you mentioned it got better when you went full time. What made it get better? Like, what mindset shift happened for you?
For me, the problem was early on, I had a couple of people, and this is Joe in a nutshell. A couple of people made negative comments when I shared with them what I was doing on a part-time basis, my part-time hustle away from my main job. There was a lady at church, and I knew she came from well off. She had family money. It was old money, I like to say. And I was hesitant to say it because I knew she was going to judge me when I said it. I don't know how I knew that. There was nothing that the woman or person did to make me feel that way other than knowing the person. And sure enough, when I said it, she leaned in and said, "What do you do?" And I repeated it, and she had this dazed look of, "I want to giggle because I think you're joking, because I don't think you can make any money by that, and I think it's lowering us." Like, I got all these emotions from this one comment, you know? And it lived with me for a long time. So to answer your question, Joe, what changed for me was getting sick. And when I got sick, it was serious. When I got better, I realized that nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares. Everybody's got their own thing. And just focus on what you have to do. And I just, from that moment on, I focused on this business and getting my family involved in it, because I didn't grow up a wealthy person. We grew up, my dad had jobs and paycheck to paycheck, and it was great. I love my childhood. I wouldn't give it up for the world. But seeing what we've done and putting the whole family involved in it, it's a game changer. When we sit down and talk or we go somewhere, it's constantly part of the conversation, and it's always a healthy conversation. There are worse things to talk about, you know? So
it's a healthy poop conversation.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with a healthy poop.
No.
What color is a healthy poop?
Brown, I would say.
I think it's light tan, actually, if you look it up. If you Google that shit. No, I'm just kidding.
There are four C's, by the way, when it comes to researching dog poop. Color is one of the four C's.
You can tell if a dog's ill or not.
Content.
By color.
What's
content.
Inside of it.
Okay.
The other two have escaped me.
So, Doug, I know when you got out of school and you weren't sure, what path you were going to take, and I laid it out. I said, look, you do not have to do this. This is only if you want to, but it's a growing, successful business. But it's dog crap. If you don't want to get involved, you shouldn't. And he really thought about it. He went to school and did everything he had to do. And still he came out going, through COVID. And I know that had to be so difficult going to school through COVID. But did you have any of those emotions? Wait a minute. So it sounds great, Dad, but.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel the same way, What do you tell people? Well, what do? I pick up dog shit, but I own the business. I make my own hours. I have so many freedoms that these people that work desk jobs don't have, And when I tell them that, when I tell them what we do, a lot of times they don't give me that, that what do? Like almost judging. It's almost like, holy shit, I didn't think that was
possible.
Even a thing. Like people pay for that.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, and they pay pretty good for it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's a real deal. Yeah, I've often thought about that with you, but we never actually talked about it. So that's interesting that you bring that up. But I think anybody in that situation would feel that way, until you start to see, especially behind the scenes, us, as being owners, you're like, you see that number in the office, you're like, that's a nice number, and that's 12 times a year. That's a nice number. So again, this is real, people. Do it. Just call me, text me, email me. I would love to answer any of your questions.
Sometimes So when is the big day?
August 1st, 30 days away.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
So today we're going to be looking at an apartment that includes all the amenities that you guys asked for. Do you have a washer and dryer?
No, we do not.
That's okay. We have facilities and you can also rent from us. Oh, this is one of our residence towers.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm just out here taking Regis and Kathy Lee here for a walk.
Yeah, and I'm just showing them an apartment today.
Oh, great. That means the three of us need to probably find a new spot. All right, see you later.
Oh, this also reminds me, we are extremely pet friendly. Do either of you have pets?
No, we don't.
Ah, that may change as soon as you move into this community. Oh, what happened? Oh, it's just Regis leaving you a little present. See, I have this for you. This little bag. Scoop it up and put it right in there.
Is this normal?
What the crap?
You have got to be kidding me. Let's get out of here.
But we're pet friendly. Lost another one.
You know, it didn't have to be this way. Don't lose leases because of the feces. Yard Sweepers, number one in the number two business.
All right, I have a question for the two of you. Because Doug, you have, I assume, picked up a lot of dog shit at this point in your life. And Joe, although you're now a bigwig and probably don't do the lowly man's work anymore, you did for years, right?
Yes.
Are there tools that help you? Are there tricks? Are there differings of opinion in terms of how the actual process goes?
So I think one of the first questions people ask is, how do you do it? How do you pick up the poop?
I imagine you have gloves.
Right.
And you would need a bandana over your mouth because for some reason you want to open your mouth constantly
with
when
the
pet you're doing
stations.
All that.
Yeah, yeah.
You learned that flicking. Last episode.
It's the flicking, really.
And you're doing the left and right grid thing, right?
Yep.
And then you just bend over and pick it up.
With your hands and gloves. Now, some of my techs have done that, but there are tools for it. There's a large handle scoop, and you could, well, no, it's not on the screen. There's a large handle scoop. On the bottom is like a shovel, a square shovel. That's about a foot square. It's got a flat edge where you scoop the poop in. The argument between Doug and I is there are two tools. There's a flat edge and there's a little rake. Now, I'm going to give you my argument for my tool. I like the flat edge. The reason I like the flat edge because it doesn't get caught. There's a lot of weird grasses, if you know what I mean, that get caught. So if you have a rake, you can't even move it. I've been on many jobs where I'm like, if I had a rake, like a real rake, it wouldn't make any difference because it gets caught in everything. So the flat edge, just flick it, boom, it works great. I used my flip-flops when I did it. Never had a problem. So strong believer.
That's disgusting.
In the flat. What?
In your flip-flops?
Look at my... Hello.
How many times do you get poop on your feet?
Not much, but some.
Yeah.
It happens. It's part of the...
He doesn't care about poop. He doesn't care about poop going in his mouth. How much would he care about it?
Oh, I care. Trust me. I saw it come in slow motion, like... Bruh. But, yeah. All right, Doug. So, you heard my side.
So, you're saying the flat edge.
Absolutely
the
flat edge.
Like a spade or whatever
this is. But the reason... The types of grasses that you're picking poop off of.
Yeah, I would say it depends on the weather, obviously. You got cold poop, it's easier to pick up in general, but I would say difference between spade and rake is spade is about 2 times smaller. So if you have big piles of poop, you're going to have to be...
We're not picking up human poop, remember? Human. So how big could it be?
But think about what happens when the poop's underneath all the grass and what do you do then? How do you get it with the spade?
What do you do then?
Oh. How do you get it with the spade? What do you scrape out a
scrape
little
on, scrapinator?
Square.
Scrape on.
No, metal rake is easily, I've never used a spade once.
Fresh poop, metal rake. What? Doesn't work. It's think about it. It gets caught up in the...
I think the sound effects are probably my favorite part of this debate.
But Come on, who's winning this debate? I think I'm crushing here.
I think you have to be out in the field and doing it. And
I've been doing it.
Last 2-3 years.
So
he hasn't been out there, and the tools have
The poop has changed, Joe.
Over the past couple of years, dog poop has changed drastically.
This ain't your granddad's poop.
Reading Doug. Totally
wow. Tell me why the rake though is better. Like, what do you like more about the rake?
Like, I think it's easy to, especially with grass, because most of the poop is in the grass. You're not picking up a lot of poop that's not on the grass. I would say just the actual pieces of the rake going through the pieces of the grass, and it's just, you're dealing with a lot thicker, tougher grass. That's my argument.
Because it's curved.
Yeah, it's curved.
And the spade is not.
Okay. Okay. Here's the thing. Tell me, and be honest, how many times have you, with your little rake, flicked it, and it flicked way over the top of the thing?
I'm a professional, bro. I don't, that doesn't happen. I don't miss.
Okay,
I don't
we've talked about the whole scoop. Bro thing. I'm still dad, not bro. So no bro.
I'm an assassin.
Oh, you're an assassin.
He's a poop assassin.
Got it. Yeah, got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Assassin. It's interesting.
So Joe, when you flick it with the spade, you can control it better.
It doesn't flick as flexible flick. It's not a flick like that's a flexible flick with the rake. This is not a flexible flick.
So you need a tool that doesn't have a flexible flick.
Flick, right, because a rake flexible, a flat edge is not flexible. Okay, not so flexible.
When it comes to dog poop, firm is better than flexible.
Absolutely.
I have recorded a lot of podcasts, and this has been one of my favorites. So it's flexible flick debate.
Yeah. It makes sense, though, doesn't it?
It makes sense.
Well, that's all I could ask for.
I've never used a spade once, so.
You know what? So you really can't even...
I guess. I mean, you could argue that I've never used it.
I will. I did. But I am.
I know it's common sense that two times bigger just space.
That's my son.
I do I think having familiarity with both sides is probably important.
And the last time he used a tool was, 10 years? I mean, the tools have been updated.
Hey, this is how the job goes, you know? Shit rolls downhill, and you know, this is how you're going to own this business in a few, hopefully not in a year or two, but you know, when I'm gone, this is all yours, my whole kingdom.
But Joe, when you were using your spade back in 1857, do you think that the technology has changed a lot?
So it was heavy. The muscles.
When you rode that carriage into town to clean up the dog poop.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I know I was earlier in the podcast, I was talking about some of the feedback that I got from a few people, and I love it. I keep it coming. But I just want to make sure that you guys do understand what I'm trying to do with this podcast. So I interviewed myself, and here it is from earlier. I want to be very clear on the purpose of this podcast. The purpose is to bless somebody with the knowledge that it took 18 years to build into a successful business. And anybody could do it. If you don't like your 9-to-5, if you are ready for something new, whatever the reason, this is a good one. This can make you money. This can, for very little, again, I'm going to say it, for little up front, you can make a lot of money. Your side hustle can become your main hustle, legit. And not only what I've learned in 18 years of doing it, but what I've learned specifically in the last 3, it's game changer. It just is. I mean, it took time, but I figured it out. And I'd love to share that. And one way I can share that is, me and my wife, we made a decision about a year and a half ago to franchise. And what that means is you get us, you know, for the price of a franchise, you get, you know, us 24/7 basically to show you and enlighten you and train you how to be a successful business owner. And I'd love to do that. I'd love to have my next show where I could just answer questions, where you just call in and live, we answer questions. You know, you type them in or however it works. Again, this is Joe's baby, Joe Woolworth. By the way, if you want to do a podcast, call Joe. But yeah, this thing is real. So for a little investment, and your time, you could be a successful small business owner. Heck, it could turn into a large business. But I want to make sure it's fun. I don't want to be a stiff bop on the podcast. I want to have fun. I want to laugh. I want to joke. But the purpose is real. I mean, this is legit. I'll say it again, legit. But yeah, I mean, call me, email me. Happy to answer any questions.
Wow, three legits.
Yeah, too legit to quit.
Legit shit, bro.
So I did have a quick story.
But before you get to your story, why do you talk so slow when you record stuff?
You know, I listened to it and I'm like, because I was sitting in my office and I don't know why. I just felt it. I felt the slowness.
You were having a moment.
Yeah. Did you feel it?
I'm going to put some
I'm still feeling it.
I'm going to put some emotional music under it that'll really help sell it.
If you could,
they would have really felt it at this point because the cinematic orchestral
really just
vibe.
Dramatic.
Yeah.
Melodic music.
That's funny.
All right. This is Joe Bosco.
So one of the stories, I have a bunch, but one of them, I remember one of the property managers 10 years ago called me and said, hey, I have the situation where this lady has this dog and the other lady next door keeps calling me and telling the dog's pooping in the yard and there's poop there, but it doesn't look like this. Like, give me this whole scenario. I'm like, okay, I'll come out. So I come out and I knocked on the door. I said, hi, do you have a dog? She's like, who are you? I said, well, I work for the property. We're in charge of the dog poop. We take care of the poop. Thank you so much for being here because Gladys lets her dog Spot out and he poops right here. Look, that's his poop. That's Spot's poop.
Gladys.
I said, Karen. No, I'm kidding. So I'm like, okay. So the dog lives here and I'm trying to get the logistics, right? You live here. Long story short, this is this lady that was complaining had a to-do with the other lady's partner, if you will. Now, I come to find that out because I said, all right, I came every week. I knocked on the door. I got Gladys's poop. It's all gone. We're good. Oh, thank you so much. So after the third visit, she's like, not really about the dog. And I'm like, okay, I got to go. Please just let me go. And she's like, well, and she tells me this whole story about what had happened. And it was just an odd thing. You're picking up dog crap. You're a tech picking up dog crap, and this is what you hear. So it's just a funny story.
Caught yourself in a cheating scandal.
It was just an odd thing. Like after the third visit, she felt confident enough with the dog poop remover guy to share
her secrets.
Right,
with you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I felt privileged, but not at the moment.
Did she ask for any advice from you?
No, but you could tell she was waiting to talk to somebody about it.
Mm.
But I was glad to hear it wasn't the dog. So I went back and talked to the manager. I said, hey, it's not about the dog. She's like, we know. And I'm like, okay. So I got in the middle of this whole thing. Anyway, let's play a game. What do you
got? Let's do it. All right. But the difference with this game is now we have another contestant.
DJ B. Okay.
Yeah, we got DJ Doug over here.
Yes.
Dog.
So the last game was two truths and a lie.
I killed it.
You did very well.
Woo.
You showed that you know truth about dog poop.
I should.
But I'm going to switch gears a little bit. You guys want to go head to head or do you want to collaborate?
Oh, yeah. No, you got to go head to head.
All right.
Let me cry.
Father versus son.
Collaborate.
Two truths and a lie is back. But this time the theme is not dog poop. I'm so sorry.
Duty.
It's not duty.
No.
The theme is just dogs.
Oh.
Just dogs in general.
So it's like a Jeopardy category.
Now you guys have a dog.
We have two.
You have two dogs.
Two cats.
And you have two cats. What kind of dogs do you guys have?
They're both
rescues.
Dogs.
Yeah. But they're great. One's a love and one's the OG.
Did you grow up with dogs?
Always, yeah.
Doug, do you have dogs when you're little?
No. I mean, we got Max when I was a senior in high school. That was our first dog.
We had cats.
All cats the whole time. Yeah, not a big fan.
No.
All right.
They're like 162, the cats. They're going to be here way forever. After us. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So this is just going to be general dog knowledge, just interesting facts about dogs. So I'm going to share three facts.
Okay.
Two of them are true. Okay. One of them is not true.
We have to guess which one is not true.
You guys can debate with each other, and then you each are going to have to guess which one you believe is not true. And
so we can talk about why we think it's...
Sure. See how this goes.
Okay. I got this.
All right. Interesting dog facts, courtesy of the internet. Fact number one. A bloodhound's sense of smell can be used as evidence in court.
He's taking notes over here. You can't, you're not going to be able to remember the first one.
I'm going to lead you down a path, and it's not a good one.
Mind games are already being played. I love it.
I'm going to secure my answer right away.
What? Okay.
A bloodhound's sense of smell can be used as evidence in court.
Got it.
Fact number two. A greyhound could beat a cheetah in a long-distance race. A greyhound could beat a cheetah in a long-distance race. And fact number three. Three dogs survived the Titanic sinking.
Whoa, this is tougher than...
Three dogs survived the Titanic sinking.
Well, here's the problem. Titanic, all the ladies got in the boat. Oh, I need Fluffy. So there's a chance one got through.
I don't even think they were allowed to have dogs. I think it could be a trick question.
I think there's a trick question in there. I'm not saying it's that one.
I think the first one's for sure true.
Wow. Like you're going on record right now.
I think so. Because I think so. They use dogs.
Okay. So I'm going to argue the other two. Hear me out. Greyhound. That's what they do. They race. They run. Speed. They look at them. They're gazelles. I mean, they're going. Cheetah, I mean, yeah, because they have to survive. I get it. Claws in the ground, they get speed. But greyhound, long legs, longer legs than a cheetah for sure, I think.
I'm saying cheetah is definitely faster than a greyhound.
I got that.
I'm saying that one's false. That's the one. That's my answer.
Oh, so there's only one. There's two false ones.
No, two truths and a lie. That's the game.
That is correct. I
I didn't know I needed to
just restate the basic mechanics of the game. So I just gave three facts. Two of them are absolutely true. One of them is false.
Titanic, no dogs. You're sure of that? Like that's
not
a lock.
I'm not sure.
That's the one I think the trick.
Both of them. I think I could argue both, but I think.
But the Greyhound thing is in a distance race. Like, so you think about a dog race, they're not, like, running 3 miles. It's not, like, they're running a short distance.
Oh, right. But the fact is, a cheetah's going to get the food fast. Like, whack.
I thought cheetah was, like, known fastest animal on the planet.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. Okay, so we'll go with that.
Yeah, if a cheetah can get up to 88 miles an hour, then it can travel through time. That's true.
But
it's an amazing cheetah.
But Titanic thing.
Could I reread the cheetah fact, so we're clear? Because it didn't talk about any food or anything. A greyhound could beat a cheetah in a long distance race.
Greyhound bus.
That's what I was just thinking. We cracked the code.
That's it. Okay.
It's not an animal.
Okay. Okay. Well, there you go. I agree. I'm with Doug. I think it's number
one. Both think it's the greyhound?
Yes. Yep.
That is incorrect.
No, the dog, the evidence. It's evidence.
He's switching his answer.
Said you think the truth is the bloodhound. That's what I agree with you.
All right.
That's the truth.
Yeah. So we're saying that the lie.
Two are lies.
Let me pause just for a second. Doug, I would like your answer. Which one of the three do you believe is not true?
Well, I know it's wrong now because you said incorrect, but I thought it was the cheetah.
Okay.
It was faster.
And which one do you believe is not true?
The Titanic.
The Titanic.
You see, this is
what agrees with me.
I agree with Doug.
I misunderstood the question.
All right, so fact number one, you both believed was true. A bloodhound's sense of smell can be used as evidence in court. That is true.
Okay.
According to PBS, a bloodhound's sense of smell is so spot on that it can be admitted as evidence in a court of law. Now, if you thought that was incredible dog fact, prepare to have your mind blown. Bloodhounds can also follow tracks that are over 300 hours old and can stay on a trail for 130 miles.
That's absurd.
13 days. That's all.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Fact number two, a greyhound could beat a cheetah in a long distance race.
And that's true.
That is true. A greyhound would actually beat a cheetah in a long distance race. According to Psychology Today, greyhounds are excellent long distance runners and can keep a speed of 35 miles per hour for up to 7 miles.
Oh, so it's a stamina thing.
Where the cheetah is incredibly fast, it can only keep its speed for around 200 to 300 yards. So they may have the running start.
First,
they will easily be surpassed by a quarter. Right.
Yeah. Why is the source for that Psychology Today?
Well, it's common knowledge.
Very interesting psychology. And no, three dogs did not survive the Titanic sinking.
I won.
Two dogs did.
I told you on the boats.
So trick
See,
question.
I could be a detective. Not
Pomeranian
only could I pick up shit.
Puppy, which was wrapped in a blanket to escape with. Everyone thought she was carrying a baby. And a Pekingese was rescued.
Wow.
So they had to hide him. So if they would have seen the dog, they would have just grabbed it from him and...
This dog is going to poop all over this rowboat.
Why would they just throw it in the water? You know what?
That's where everything else is going.
Keep it. It's the dog. You got to keep it. Keep you warm. You
throw it in ice cold water.
Man, is that a Pekingese? Throw it overboard right now.
What breed is that?
No. We don't accept those on the lifeboats.
If there's not enough room on that little board for Jack, they don't got room for a Pekingese.
Come back.
I'll never let go, Pekingese.
Oh, yeah.
The little paw just like floating into the water.
That should be the thumbnail for this podcast. A little paw sinking in some icy water.
No, sir.
Good job. Joe, you won round two.
Yeah, that was fraudulent.
What?
But okay.
You know, sore is a way to lose. I don't recommend it.
We'll rewatch and we'll see.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll see what happened there.
Okay. Well, that was awesome. I think we covered a lot of ground. I think we did some good work. I think people hopefully have questions, and you know, I'm not sure how it works with doing questions. If you know, I don't know who's watching.
Go to your website, yardsweepers.net, and fill out the contact form if you got a question for the show.
Yes, do that.
I do think we covered a lot of ground, and you know how we covered it? With the left to right grid pattern,
walking 6 feet. Grid,
just covering the whole
3 feet, 3 feet plus your body, so it's about 8 feet.
And remember. You don't want a flexible flick.
Well,
and rake is better than spade.
He just said you don't want a flexible flick.
Of the poop.
Thanks for listening. This episode is complete. If you want to be number one in the number two business, be sure to check out yardsweepers.net and learn more about becoming a franchise owner. This podcast is produced at Podcast Carry and brought to you by Yardsweepers. Be sure to subscribe wherever you download your podcasts.